Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
One of the things that we should be constantly doing is comparing what we're saying and also comparing the doctrinal fruit of what other leaders, what leaders are saying, to the people of God. Now, the prophets and the Lord Jesus Christ and His holy apostles said certain things, and they were all consistent because the Holy Spirit was in each of them, and there's no contradiction in God. And we have those embodied in the canon of Holy Scripture. And so we must always be taking into account what Jesus and His apostles, for example, told the New Testament church, and compare that to what we hear being told to the New Testament church today when people get saved. As an example, I'm going to read a few sentences here of an email we just received. And let's compare what this pastor is telling new Christians to what Jesus and His apostles told new Christians and to those that would be in the kingdom of God. The email says, "Dear Todd, my family and I currently attend a Pentecostal church. Our pastor relentlessly believes and will tell baby Christians in his conversations with them that there is nothing that they can do that can make them lose their eternal security with the Lord." She continues, "I can't help but to think that this is setting up new believers to go ahead and continue to live the lifestyle that they've been living, only now they've added Christ to that lifestyle. It sets up one to ultimately fail. I've tried to explain this to my husband, but he doesn't agree with me and thinks that I'm being overly judgmental and picky. Besides, who am I to question the pastor? If he said it and preaches it, then it must be right." Unquote. End of email. Now, if the pastor's saying it, does that make it right? No. The Berean believers, Acts 17:11, didn't even believe Paul at his word, because the Bible doesn't say let Paul be true and every man a liar. The Bible says let God be true and every man a liar, okay? Let God be true and every man a liar. Now, the Apostle Paul, of course, used by God to write much of the New Testament scriptures, but the point being that God is the final authority, and He gave us His word, and His word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. Also, the Lord's word will not be altered or changed, because He, in His immutable nature, He's unchanging. "I am the Lord, I change not." Malachi 3:6. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." I believe that's Psalm 89:34. "And He will not alter His covenant." The Berean believers, it says here, they were more noble. They were more noble. That's what God has to say about people who do what the Berean believers did. They received the Word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, that's what we are called to do. Search the Word of God daily to check out and to examine and to put to the acid test everything that we're thinking, everything that we're saying, and everything that others are saying. Now, is this pastor telling the truth when he tells new believers that there's nothing they can do to lose their eternal security? Is that biblical? Is that what the apostles of Jesus Christ told the new believers? I want you to look at Acts chapter 13 with me. Acts 13:43, where the apostle Paul goes back and is preaching to people that on his previous missionary journey he had led them to Christ. Acts 13:43. "And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Paul told them that they had to continue in the grace of God. He didn't say it was automatically they were going to stay in the grace of God. Oh, no. He said they needed to continue in the grace of God. Let's put that together with other scripture for a moment here. We have access to this saving grace. How? Through faith, Romans 5:1-2. That's how you tap into, if you will, or appropriate the grace of God, is through faith. God said it is impossible to please him without having faith. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is what? A rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Let's tie that together with something else. Let's tie it together with the cross. If somebody really has faith, do they have good works with that faith? Yes, the good works don't save them, but it's the evidence of saving faith. Read James chapter 2. See, saving faith always manifests itself in one's giving himself over to the Lord. That is, in the self-denial and the taking up of the daily cross. If you're not denying yourself, taking up your cross and follow Christ, it's because you're trusting in yourself. You're not trusting God. You don't have saving faith. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:9, he said that we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. If God isn't raising up your life every day, if he's not living in and through you, it's because you don't have a relationship with him. You might have in the past, you might have begun in the spirit, but now you've wandered off into the flesh. Somebody else perhaps has taught you false teaching and you've been bewitched, Galatians 3 verse 3, and you have fallen from grace, Galatians 5 4. And so let me encourage you to repent and put your faith back in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can continue in the grace of God, because it's by faith that we appropriate the grace of God. Remember, Romans 5:2 says we have access to the grace of God through faith. You got to get that scripture in your memory. Have it as a working part of your life, beloved. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, and know that if you're going to walk in the graces, the saving grace of God, by the way, salvation is not a one-time event. It starts there, but it's a life experience of walking in the light with Jesus as he is in the light, as he is who is holy, holy, holy is in the light. We walk in the light with him, and as we do, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Blood of the Father, Son, Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. This fellowship that we have is with the Father and with the Son. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 7. If we do sin, then we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Aren't you glad about that? Anybody who sinned after they've been saved is very glad about that. I got both my hands up, not just one. These things write I unto you, he says just after that, that you sin not. But if any man sin, if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So the Apostle Paul exhorts these believers. He says anything but what we hear being said today. As this lady expresses in her email, we don't hear him saying, you guys are eternally secure. You once saved, always saved. Once in grace, always. God had 27 New Testament books to tell us that, and he never told us anything even remotely close to that. Jesus, Paul here is preaching the same gospel, the same doctrine Jesus gave to the apostles. When he said, he looked at them, he said, you're going to be hated. He warned them, you're going to be hated. They've hated me. They're going to crucify me, and they're going to also hate you. He says, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. That's what Jesus told his apostles, and that's what Paul is reverberating here. He's telling these believers that got saved that you have to continue in the grace of God. Not that you're now working your way, now that God saved you by his Spirit through faith, that you're now working your way. Absolutely not. That's the error of the Galatians. That's legalism. On the other end of the spectrum is licentiousness or lasciviousness, a license for sin. And that is something we see prevalent today, a license for sin being taught. You got two ends of the spectrum. You got two ends of the imbalanced pendulum, legalism, where people start to think that because of their own obedience alone, that they're now kept by God after he saved them by grace through faith. Galatians 3:3, they're being bewitched, those legalists. They believe that now, having begun in the Spirit, they're now made perfect by their own flesh alone. Not at all. You're justified by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But the difference is that you got on both of these, the errors, where you got lasciviousness and you got legalism. You got the other guys that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. License for sin. Jude verse 3 and 4. We're to earnestly contend against those people. That's what I'm doing in this message, in part. And other things too. But it's through faith. We got to walk by faith and not by sight, looking not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And if we truly have saving faith, we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're abiding or remaining in that relationship with Him. We're receiving nourishment through that relationship, like the five wise virgins, and our lamps are full, and we have the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit's presence in us, to in the desire to lay down our lives and to let Christ live through us. Remember, saving faith always brings about an obedience to the cross, the Lord and His cross. Not a circumvention of the cross, but an enduring of sound doctrine, a walking with it, holding it close to us, not rejecting it. You see, the Bible says in the last days that there'd be those who did not endure sound doctrine. They didn't hold themselves up against it. See, a lot of folks want the heavenly crown, but they don't want the earthly cross. They don't want to have to do what Jesus said is a must to follow Him. And it's deny yourself. Set yourself aside. Take up your cross and follow Me. The only way to follow Him is to do two things, He said. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow Me. Or you're not following Him and you're not going to heaven. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of My Father which is in heaven." And if you have a relationship with God, you have the faith of God in you, and you are willingly submitting yourself to the Lord daily. Saving faith will always manifest itself in the person who possesses it, giving himself over to the Lord. That is, in self-denial and taking up his cross to follow Jesus, crying out with John the Baptist, "You must increase, I must decrease, Father. And, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." So, we're talking about continuing in the grace of God. We're talking about what men are saying today as compared to what the apostles. Remember, we're to be continuing steadfastly, beloved, in the apostles' doctrine. Acts chapter 2 verse 42. The early church met house to house daily, and they did four things. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Acts 2:42. And number one, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What is the apostles' doctrine? It's the doctrines that Jesus Christ taught to his apostles. That includes the apostle Paul and the other apostles, especially those who wrote the scriptures. And so, because remember, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for four things: doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction in righteousness. All of your belief about God has to come from the Holy Scriptures, which are given by inspiration of God in order to teach you, instruct you into His ways, and to build inside of you biblical doctrine, sound doctrine as coming directly from the Lord. So we're to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're not to continue steadfastly in what a pastor's saying. He better be just preaching the word. That's the problem today, that pastors, a lot of them, most of them, are not preaching the word. They're not sound in their doctrine. They have not eaten the word of God like Ezekiel was told to do, and therefore they don't have the word of God to speak, Ezekiel 3:1, because they haven't been in the word. They've been following tradition and philosophy and what they've heard from other people say. They're regurgitating it instead of putting everything that acid tests and getting rid of the scriptures, against the scriptures, like the Berean believers did, and getting rid of everything, circumcising your heart and your mind and your mouth of everything that does not align with the sound doctrine we get in scripture. So Paul goes, and he doesn't tell them you're eternally secure no matter what you do. There's no sin that can separate you from God at all. Once in grace, always in grace. All of these cliches we hear going on today, like this lady in her email is saying. Look at chapter 14, verse 22. The apostle Paul, again, goes back to some cities where he led people with Jesus. And it says in verse 22, confirming, when he got to some of these cities, he says, confirming or strengthening and reestablishing the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. You got to continue in the faith. You began in the faith by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Christ, being brought to repentance. Now you got to continue in the faith. It's not good enough to believe initially and then stop believing. Can a believer stop believing? Absolutely. We'll talk maybe in a minute about free will. God sovereignly, I like to use that word in this context, gave us free will. You don't have to keep following God. You get the privilege of keep following God or to choose not to. That's what the whole of Scripture teaches. Anybody who does not understand that truth is just completely off base, and all of their doctrine is going to be off camber and completely false, because a little leaven leavens a whole lump. That's the most dangerous deceiver, is actually somebody that's got a little leaven. The whole lump is leaven, but most people don't see it because some of the stuff in the lump looks true. Rat poison is about 98-99% good cornmeal, but it's that 1% of rat poison a poison in the rat poison that's going to kill you. So if you know somebody that's teaching once saved, always saved, eternal security, flee from them. Earnestly contend against them. Confront them. Flee from them. Get away from them. This is the doctrine of Satan. It started in the garden when he said, you will not surely die. You're eternally secure. Just like this pastor that is right, this lady is talking about that wrote into us is saying. He's telling new believers that they're eternally secure. Basically, you have no responsibility to continue in the grace of God. You don't have to continue you in the faith. Is that what Paul said? No. Paul said in Acts 13:43 to continue in the grace of God. It's something to do. It's a responsibility. He also says here in Acts 14:22 that they are to continue in the faith. Can you stop believing? Yes, Jesus said there are those who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. Can you fall away? Well, why would Jesus have used that term if you couldn't fall away? Paul said they had fallen from the grace of God, Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. We also see that you can frustrate the grace of God and fail the grace of God in Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15. It can be done. God's grace is not going to save you if you go in direct disobedience. Obedience to him, or you just stop following him. You've got to continue in the grace of God. You've got to continue in the faith. That's what Paul told believers. He didn't tell them they were unconditionally, eternally secure no matter what they did. That's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous for anybody to teach that. Paul said to the church of Corinth, he said, knowing therefore the terror, he's talking to the church, 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, not only men to be saved, but men to continue in the grace of God, to continue in faith. He says in Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples, strengthening them, telling them they're unconditionally eternally secure. First of all, it's not the apostolic doctrine. It's not the apostles' doctrine whatsoever. It's not Christ's doctrine or his apostles. There's no hint of such a thing in all of the New Testament. 27 books. I challenge you to find one place where Jesus or any of his apostles taught that you're once saved, always saved, or that you have no responsibility. No matter what you do, you're eternally secure. Forget it. You're going to search in vain for the rest of your life. Better yet, just repent and conform to what you read in the Holy Scriptures. Jesus said that in the last days, that iniquity was going to abound. In other words, sin, just like in the days of Noah, was going to be epidemic. It's so accessible today. We're in the final days, beloved. Jesus is coming, and it might be before you finish listening to this message. Matthew 24:10-13. And he said, the love of many was going to wax cold. And part of the reason why it's waxing cold is because you got pastors like this lady's writing to us about that are telling people that they have no responsibility to continue to believe. They have no responsibility before God. They have a free ticket to heaven. There's nothing they can do. There's no sin that they can commit to break off their relationship with God. Absolutely nonsense in many ways. First and foremost, you don't see the apostles teaching this. You don't see Jesus teaching this. You see Jesus saying you got to endure the end to be saved in the midst of all this epidemic of sin where iniquity is abounding and the love of many is waxing cold. He said, he that endures to the end the same shall be saved. Don't ever let your love for Christ become anything but on fire, beloved. You see, one of the churches, the Ephesian believers, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, he says they had left their first love. They were actually able, through the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, to discern false apostles. People that were saying they were apostles and bishops and prophets, and they discerned them to be quote-unquote false apostles. But yet, he says, Jesus said he had someone against them that they had left their first love. Jesus had become a second-class citizen. The actions of their heart have been alienated onto something else or someone else, a religious leader or their own selves and their own lives or their own materialism in this fleeting world. And he said, you got to repent. And if they weren't in danger of losing their salvation and forfeiting, then why would Jesus tell them to change their way and completely turn back to him? That would be ridiculous for him to say. If they were already, no matter what, even though they were living in rebellion, they were just okay anyway and secure. That's ridiculous. He told them to repent. That means turn totally around. You're going in the wrong direction. He's talking to his church, not the lost. See, if we're going to be noble, we got to compare, put to the acid test what people like this pastor are saying, and let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:4. And look at what the apostle said. The apostle said, you got to continue in the grace of God. You got to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22, verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. Now notice, they ordained elders. And what did they ordain? Put these verses together. This is all one passage. They ordained these elders to teach the people and exhort them to continue in the faith. That's exactly the opposite of what this pastor that this lady's emailing us about, and many, many tens of thousands of false shepherds are telling people every week. You're saved now, you're eternally secure. And they take one or two little verses out of context and throw it at the people and tell them basically, go your merry way and have fun, live your life. You added Jesus to what you already were, and now you're eternally secure. Absolutely ridiculous. In our book, Lie of the Ages, a good friend of mine in East Texas, Brian Ivey, tells his story about when he was a young man, how he had gotten saved, and the Lord had genuinely saved him, but then his pastor came in and told him that he was once saved, always saved. This boy, Brian, was 18 years old at the time. And at that point, it just he tells a story in our book called Lie of the Ages. Fascinating testimony by Brian Ivey. And really telling as to the fruit of this false teaching. The fruit of this false teaching, you see it in Brian's testimony. He went back into the world and never continued walking with Christ. The pastor didn't tell him that he had to continue in the grace of God and in faith. He told him basically, and that he didn't need to learn how to fear God. No, but he said, just what this lady's saying, her pastor saying, that you once saved, always saved, no matter what you do, you're secure, nothing can separate you from the love of God, all these cliches. Of course, that's scripture, but it's taken out of context by the reformist. Because you got to continue in the faith of God to continue to have the eternal life of God. God will love you all the way to the end, even if he loves you all the way into hell. Okay, he'll let you go there if you don't repent. So the fruit of this doctrine is just what it did to Brian Ivey. It led him back into a life of sin, to where God had to find him again and bring him to repentance. Now he's walking with the Lord. And you can read that testimony in Lie of the Ages. You can obtain that on ebook or in print format at safeguardyoursoul.com. And that goes into great detail on this topic and many more. There's 57 beautiful chapters of scriptural truth. Encourage you to get it. It's called Lie of the Ages. Now, basically, these pastors are saying there's no reason to walk with, abide in relationship, or fear God. There's just no reason to. He saved you now, and man, you're on your way. What does the Bible say? Colossians 2:6-7, Paul says, as he's giving the deliberation about how Jesus, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are wrapped up in this eternal God, creator, and redeemer, Jesus Christ. And it says, now that you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and be established in the faith. That's the apostolic doctrine, beloved, to be established in the faith and to walk with Christ, to set your affections, chapter 3:1-4, on things above. As you look for the soon return of Christ, you are dead. You got to be crucified with Christ. Take up your cross, deny yourself, and walk with Christ, or all of your so-called faith is completely in vain, and you're totally being misled and deceived by the myriad of false shepherds today, these predators in our pulpits. So we see there in Colossians chapter 2, anybody want to argue with the Word of God, go right ahead. I'm not going to join you. I'm not going to get caught up in an argument with. Sometimes I get emails. We get so many emails now, and that's good. I love to interact with people. It's such a joy. Most of them are so good, but sometimes we're getting these emails like, ma'am, sir, if you're not going to believe the Word of God, there's nothing I can do for you. I'm not going to sit here and spend an hour every day, 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, answering you, giving you scripture. You got a Bible, you know? If you're not going to believe God's Word, what can I do for you? I'm just flesh. Colossians 2:6-7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in it. So what does Paul say to those that have got saved? Listen to this. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk ye in him. Walk in him. Walk with him. Verse 7. Rooted in him, that is, and built up in him and established in the faith. You know, we get the picture. He's given the picture of a tree that starts off as a seed and it goes into the ground, it dies, and then it begins to grow roots and bring forth, you know, a trunk and a crop, resurrecting. But it's got to first go into the ground and die in order to be an established tree that's founded and can stand against the winds and the judgment to come. It's got to grow roots deep. It's got to be established in the ground of the kingdom of God. See, rooted and built up. What kind of root system do you have, beloved? Are you rooted and grounded in Christ and in his love and in relationship with him? Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. You can't be established in the faith if you don't walk with Christ, becoming rooted and built up in him. This is what the Apostle Paul tells the new believers. As you've been taught, notice, as you've been taught, that's what we've taught you, that you've got to now that he's saved you, you've got to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. The walk of a Christian is a walk of just rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:8. Then the Apostle Paul, in the next words, verse 8 of Colossians 2, says, beware. He's warning them now. Beware lest any man, any mere man, spoil you or ruin you. That if it weren't possible, why the warning? It is possible to be misled. Let no man take thy crown, Jesus said, Revelation 3:11. If such weren't possible, why in the world would the Apostle Paul and Jesus warn about such? Hello. Another place in the Gospels, Jesus said, beware of men. Okay, Satan uses men. Beware, he says, lest any man spoil you or bring you to ruin through, how? Through philosophy, not the Bible, but philosophy. Like this pastor that this lady's telling us about, he's using philosophy, something else other than the Word of God. Some reasoning other than the Word of God. He's spoiling people. He's causing, the fruit of that is the fear of God is robbed out of their hearts and they walk away, they fall away when time of temptation comes. So we're to beware lest any man spoil us through philosophy. Vain deceit after the traditions of men. This guy might have learned this by tradition, just regurgitating what he's been told, instead of preaching the word and only the word. If you're going to preach the word, you're not going to tell people they're unconditionally eternally secure. It's just not in there. After the rudiments of the thinking of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Instead of telling people you're unconditionally eternally secure, you can do whatever you want. Hey, what you're going to tell them is that you need to be rooted and grounded in Christ. You need to endure to the end. You need to follow Christ. You need to have a walk with Christ, for you're complete only in him. When you're in him, you're not complete if you walk away from him and you're not in him. Jesus said in John 15:6 that anybody who is in him, that doesn't remain in him, is going to be cut off and cast into the fire. Does that need any explanation? No, not at all. The apostolic doctrine continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That's what the true remnant of Jesus Christ is doing today, beloved. They're not taking a man's word for it. Don't take my word for it. Get in these scriptures, beloved. Walk with Christ. Be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, in relationship with him, the one in whom you are complete. You're not complete outside of him. Now, this pastor that this lady is writing about is so typical. He's telling people, and this is the same thing Brian Ivey's pastor, when the Lord saved him initially, I told him. He's saying basically, there's no reason to walk with Jesus, to abide in relationship with him, or to fear God. He saved you, and you're now free to do as you please, because you can never do anything to jeopardize your eternal salvation. You are once saved, always saved. You're once in grace, always in grace. No matter what you do, you're secure. No matter what vile, defiling sins that you commit against the Almighty, who's holy, holy, and holy, holy, then you are still okay. And what is this? This is not the apostles' doctrine. We don't see that coming from Christ. We don't see that coming from any of his apostles or prophets. Nowhere. This is brazen rebellion, and only an antichrist wolf would ever instruct anybody in this way and in this manner. You know anybody that's teaching that? I want you to tell them I said they're an antichrist wolf. You can give them my phone number. You can give my email address. I'd love to talk to them. This is exactly what Satan told the first man and woman. He has no new tricks in his bag, right? Ecclesiastes 1:9. There's no new thing under the sun. The New Testament says there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Satan's got the same old tricks. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that is right after, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is right after Paul was warning them that God destroyed his own people for their sin. He names five sins. He destroyed them for their sin after he had saved them, and then they were going to enter into the promised land, but they were forbidden to enter the promised land because they sinned against God and would not repent. 1 Corinthians 10:1-13. And he goes on to say, in verse 13, to sum it up, there's no temptation but such as is common to man. This is the same lie Satan told in the garden, that you're eternally secure no matter what you do. Satan said, you shall not surely die. He added a three-letter word that changed the course of history. It certainly changed the course of this Adam and Eve's lives, and it's changing the course of millions of lives today who God saves, and then the pastor turns right around and tells them, you shall not surely die. What do you mean? He's telling them that you can disobey God and eat of the knowledge of the tree of fruit and good and evil, and you're not going to die. You shall not surely die. God said, you shall surely die. You shall surely die. Genesis, go read it for yourself. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. Compare what God said to what Satan said. And that's the same thing these evil wolves and hissing serpents of the devil, like this pastor she's writing in about. You heard me. I said he's of the devil. Come on. How much more can you be of the devil than to say the things the devil said? The devil said, you will not surely die if you disobey God. Listen, man, there's no mystery about the fact that you and I have to overcome the flesh and Satan every day through submitting ourselves in faith to God. His grace is sufficient for us at that point. But we haven't always done that. But we don't have a license to cloak ourselves by saying, I'm okay, I don't have to repent of my sins, I'm cool, I'm once saved out in bull. That's not the truth. That's a lie. The scripture says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covers his sins or hides them, doesn't confess them, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them, he shall have mercy. You're only going to have mercy and be washed afresh of your sins if you're going to confess them. That's what the scriptures teach. You're not arbitrarily or automatically or mechanically forgiven because you were once saved. You better repent of your sin. You better keep a short list with God. You better keep no list with God. If you sin, you bring it before his throne of grace to obtain mercy for your sins, forgiveness and grace, change in your life, divine enablement in your heart to please God and then not enter back in. You got to forsake it. You got to have the power of God. You got to be brought in, moved into a place of realizing that the reason why you sin is because you're not rooted and grounded in Christ like you should be. And it should quicken you to pursue him with all your heart and to cry out to him in repentance and to draw near to him so that you're rooted and grounded in him and you're not moved away from the hope of the gospel or drawn back by the devil and your own lust into that sin that so easily has beset you, the scripture teaches. So Satan says, you shall not surely die. That's exactly what this pastor and thousands and thousands and thousands of other false leaders are telling people now, that they won't die if they live in sin. That's what Satan told the first man and woman. After their maker, the God we claim to be servants, says that you shall surely die if you disobey. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. This diabolical lie of Satan robbed from the first man and woman the fear of God, which led to their disobedience and their departure from the Lord and their demise. That's exactly what it's doing to people today. I want to encourage you, if you want to go further in this study, I encourage you to get the book called Lie of the Ages, safeguardyoursoul.com. We're not trying to just sell books, trust me, but we do want to get the scriptures in your heart. We want you to examine the scriptures. That's why we format these books, and I believe you'll find great blessings in them. Now, there is not one statement in all the Holy Scriptures, not one, even remotely, as we said earlier, even remotely similar to what this pastor is telling people, that this lady wrote in about, telling them they're once saved, always saved, they can never lose their salvation and stuff like that. That's, no scripture teaches that. Jesus didn't teach it, his apostles didn't teach it. So if you're saying that, you're not continuing in the apostles' doctrine, you're openly rejecting it. Jesus and no apostle or disciple in all the Word of God gave such a promise of unconditional eternal security. You got to continue in the faith and you got to continue in the grace of God. Acts 13:43 and 14:22 and 23, and also Colossians 2. Now that you've received Christ, you got to keep walking in him. You got to abide in him. John 15. That's the testimony of all the scriptures. It's another gospel when people teach that you're once saved, always saved. You're saved now, you can't lose yours. That's ridiculous. That is another gospel. And Paul says that anyone preaching this other gospel is accursed of God. Galatians 1, 6, or 9, they are accursed. They're not just nice little deceived men. They're accursed, man. God didn't play around with this stuff. They're misleading eternal souls that Jesus Christ died to save and derailing them from an eternity with God and sending them on the wide road that leads to destruction. Who do you think those folks are that stand before the judgment seat that Jesus told in the future? Are going to stand before it and say, Lord, Lord, we walked with you. We went to church. We did many wonderful works. We cast out. We did all these things. And he's going to say, I never knew you. He's also going to say, I know you not whence you are. I believe that's Luke 13, 24 through 27. He knows them not in the place they died in. Revelation 22, 11. Wherever you die, however you die, whatever state you die in, you're going to be that way forever. Also, a supporting verse for that is Ezekiel 33, 12 and 13. If the righteous man turns from his righteousness after God tells him he's righteous in the day that he sins, I will lose all his righteousness. He's done. Now, he can repent, but if he doesn't repent, he's going to die in sin and go to hell, and it will be better for him not to have known the way of righteousness that after he've known it, he turns from the holy commandment and does despite into the spirit of grace. 2 Peter chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 10. See, it doesn't matter how much good a person preaches. That little leaven of once saved, always saved, that leaven of Satan, if you will, is ruining the whole lump or body of everything they're teaching. Why obey anything they're teaching? Why be compelled in the fear of God to do anything to serve the Lord? If you once saved, always saved, why don't you just go out and have fun? Make no mistake, these are ungodly men. These are the exact ungodly men that the Jude, the half-brother Jesus, said that are turning the grace of God into lasciviousness or a license for sin. Jude verse 3 through 6. It doesn't matter if they are cognizant or aware or intending to do such. It doesn't matter. They're still doing it by teaching falsely. Therefore, they're identified as these ungodly men who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not telling people it's time, as now that you're a believer, to be established in your walk with God, to begin to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Christ, to have a prayer life, to be in the Word every day, and to nourish that relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing could be more important than having Him as your first love and abiding in Him as one of the wise virgin believers who has their lamps full of the riches of Christ's presence and word, instead of one of the five foolish virgins who runs out of oil and is rejected and doesn't make it into the marriage chamber, the New Jerusalem, into heaven with Jesus forever. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. We are to earnestly contend against these evil-hearted wolves. And so you do that, beloved. You reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine as you preach the word, because we live in a day when men are not enduring sound doctrine, that are holding themselves accountable to and up against pure, sound doctrine, the sound doctrine of God's word. But they're being turned over to fables or stories or false philosophies like the one we're talking about in this segment. God bless you and keep you to the end by His grace and through your deliberate faith. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.